Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Faithful you have been, Jesus. Precious Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Great is your name, Lord Jesus. Great is your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. Father God, I just thank you this afternoon. I thank you for this time of study. I take authority over these lives, over these airways for the kingdom of God and your righteousness in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke every devil and demon, every witch and warlock in the mighty name of Jesus. And I saturate these lines with the blood of Jesus. And I say, Holy Spirit, let me decrease as you increase in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for revelation, Lord, about the Queen of Heaven, Lord God. Lord, I pray that the intercessors, Lord God, that we will be strategic in our prayers. So I pray today that we will get, Lord God, revelation on how to pray more effectively against the demonic entities in the name of Jesus. Amen. So good afternoon to all. I don't know what time it is in your part of the country, But here it's actually evening, about 6:30 p.m. And we're going to go into our study. And I'm starting a new study. As I come back, start doing my programs again, I'm going to be doing series. And this series that the Holy Spirit has given me to talk about is the history of is the series on the Queen of Heaven. Who is she? Is she still being worshipped today? Many people don't understand that the history of the Queen of Heaven is found in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures. Who is this Queen of Heaven? As we go through this series, we're going to learn the history of the Queen of Heaven. We're going to learn the characteristics of the Queen of Heaven. We're going to learn the scriptures that specifically talk about the Queen of Heaven, so we can have a better understanding of intercessors or how to bind, rebuke, and take authority. We need to understand as the church, as the people of God, glory to God, that in this, there is a natural realm, but there is also a spiritual realm. And in that spiritual realm, there are creatures, there are demons, there are Elohims. Now, I know we use the name, God's name is Elohim, but also in the Hebrew, it is also used for supernatural beings, creatures such as angels. And so they are Elohim. Another name for them is the sons of God. Yes, we are the sons of God, but we know that in the book of Job, God talks to Job when he's reprimanding him for what he was doing. He said, were you there when the sons of God sang? So we see that these Elohims, these little G's, these are entities, and we're going to unpack this. But let us get started. Let us get started in our scripture, because I want to open up. I want to set a foundation for us to understand that whatever I'm talking about, the Queen of Heaven, she is found in scripture. It was a literally queen, but she was deified and so. In mythology, she became to be the Queen of Heaven. But we need to dig into this word to see what the Word of God says. Everything must be founded on the Scripture. So I want to start off with, let us go over to Jeremiah chapter 44 and verses, and I'm going to read, glory to God, verses 17 through 25. It says, but now when we talk about the Queen of Heaven, we are talking about, at this point, a spiritual being. Remember that there is a natural realm and a spiritual realm, and that the natural realm is parallel to the spiritual realm. And whenever we see this going on in the natural, we have to understand that it's going on in the spirit. So just like we see that the war taking place in Ukraine right now and all this chaos and confusion in the natural, understand that there is chaos and confusion in the spiritual realm. And so we need to be aware of that, because if nothing else, we are all called to be intercessors. And we need to pray. We don't want to, the Bible says that we don't want to pray amiss. So we need to be praying strategically. And so in order to pray strategically, we need to understand what we are dealing with. Okay, so let's start at verse 17. It says, but we will certainly do whatever, and this is God's judgment on idolatry. At this point, the nation of Israel is in idolatry, and we know from the scriptures that they were constantly in and out of idolatry. When they came out of Egypt, they brought Egypt with them. They brought the idolatrous practices. They brought the mentality. They brought actually evil entities that followed them, because they learned how to worship these entities when they were in Egypt. How many of you know that there are many people who came out of the world and they came into God's kingdom, but they brought that mentality of the world inside their relationships inside the church, and this is not good. So, but we see that this is nothing new. We see that from the beginning, when the nation of Israel came out, they literally began to continuously to worship the idols. So verse 17 says, and this is talking about chapter 44 actually is talking about judgment of idolatry. In this, God is talking about the judgment that he's going to bring against idolatry. But so you can read verses 1 through 16 on your own. And I'm going to start at 17. But it says, and this is the people talking to Jeremiah about what they're going to do. Now, Jeremiah, we know from reading the story of Jeremiah, he was sent to his people. He was sent to cry out for repentance and tell them that they have to put down their idolatrous ways and come back to serve the one true living God. Hallelujah. So God was being merciful to his chosen people because he did not want them to perish. He did not want them to go into bondage, into captivity. But this is what the answer to what Jeremiah was saying. It said, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouth. Wow. To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes. In other words, this has been going on from generation to generation, and it's nothing new, and we're going to continue. We like the way it's going. My God, it says, and he says, we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of vestures and were well and saw no evil. So they saying that because they was worshiping the Queen of Heaven and making drink offering, making sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven, they were being provided for. They saying that they had no lack and no want. So in their minds, that what they were doing to the Queen of Heaven and worshiping her and doing blood sacrifices, and we'll get into that later, to the Queen of Heaven, they saw no evil. They did not see what they were doing was evil. How about it's none so blind who refuses to see? Amen. It says, verse 18, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things that have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them and came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doing. So they saying that it was a good thing what they were doing, pouring out these drink offerings and sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven. But here Jeremiah said, don't you see that what you're doing, burning incense, and that you continue to sin against God? Do you not? In other words, do you not remember that God sees this? Do you know that this did not come into God's mind? God's desire had no desire for them to worship idols, to worship not idols, demigods. These are demigods. These are fallen angels. And we'll get into that later. So the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil. In other words, Jeremiah said, you did it so much and y'all done it so long that God could no longer bear it. He could not stand it. Understand, the worship, idolatry is wickedness and evil to God. Even today, we are still having idols. We are still worshiping other things outside of God. Understand that this is evil. He says, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abomination. Worshiping idols is abomination to God. Anything that you put before the Most High God, before dear Lord Jesus, is an abomination to God. He said, which you have committed. Therefore, is your land a desolation. The reason why your land is desolate, the reason why you have lack and you in want, is because you're in idolatry. He says, an astonishment and a curse without inhabitant, as as at this day. So in their eyes, they see that they think that they got it going on. Everything is going okay. They saying when we stop worshiping the idols is when bad things start happening to us. They could not see that the reason why bad things happen to them is because they were disobedient to God, that they put other things, they put man-made things before God. Verse 23, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of God. When God gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments, even though he gave them more than Ten Commandments, I'm just talking about ten. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. You shall not make graven image. The very things that God told them not to do, this is the very thing they practiced, and they were happy in doing it. My God. He said, you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimony. Therefore, this evil is happened unto you as it is today. So here we see that Jeremiah is correcting them. He said, no, the reason why these bad things have happened to you, Judah, and to all the people, all the inhabitants in the land, is because you disobeyed God. You did not keep his laws. You did not follow his statutes. You did not remember his testimonies. You did not remember what God told you. You did not remember the good things. And I want us to understand, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we must remember the things that God has done for us. We must remember the word of God day in and day out. We must keep his laws, his statutes, and his precepts before us. Then our way will be made perfect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read the last two scriptures. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed. They talk about the vows that they made to the Queen of Heaven. We have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your ways. My God, hallelujah, Jesus. And let me read verse 26, because anytime we go against God, anytime we go against his way, surely something will happen. Verse 26 says, therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, hallelujah, said the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. My God, behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. So we see God brought judgment against the idolatry of the land because the people stood in defiance against God. So we see, who were they worshiping? The Queen of Heaven. Let us go to another scripture before I really break this down. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 8 and let's read verse 14. It says, then he brought me, now this is Ezekiel, an abomination in the temple. So we see the angel of the Lord took Ezekiel into the temple in the spirit so he could see what was taking place behind the scenes. See, it's not so much what we're doing in the scene, because when we look at it, people of God, we see the church and then we see these services going on. Faithful every Sunday, glory to God, and people going to the church and masses are going in and we see hands lifted high and we see all this great and we think, okay, this church is really serving God. They're really worshiping God, but it's not what's seen on the outside of the scene. God is concerned what's going on behind the scene, and we see the abominations that's taking place in the temple. So Ezekiel 8 and verse 14 said, so we see the angel of the Lord brought Ezekiel into the temple. And it says, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, who is this Tammuz? We're going to get to that. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than thee. See, with these women in the house of God worshiping idols, we have to be careful, because there are many in the house of God that are worshiping idols. They're worshiping titles. They're worshiping their pastors. They're worshiping the praise and worship team. They're worshiping different things. They're worshiping the board of directors. They're worshiping things that are not God, that are bringing abomination to the house of God. My God. Verse 16, it says, and he brought me into the inner court, inside the house of the Lord, inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun god toward the east. So we know they was worshiping the sun god. There are many names for the sun god, but they were worshiping idols. They was worshiping, some say Zeus was the sun god. We have to understand that this was taking place many centuries ago in the house of God, in the inner court. Can I tell you that nothing new has happened? The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. My God. Then verse 17, it says, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they have committed here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose, burning incense and smoking weed. They put the branch to their nose. What are they talking about? Weed. They're smoking. So if you think that's okay, that's abomination to God. Smoking weed, smoking marijuana, I believe smoking cigarettes. These are abomination to God. But these things they were committing inside the house of God. I remember many years ago when I was working with foster care children, and one of the jobs we had to do was, if we had to work on Sunday, we needed to take them to the church, their denomination. I remember taking the children to one of the services, and I'll never forget, it was a Methodist church, and I don't care who get mad, it was a Methodist church. And as we approached that Sunday to go to church, on standing outside the front door, my God, was the pastor, the minister, smoking a cigarette. And I said to myself, my God, I cannot believe this, smoking in front of the house. So he was putting something to his nose. He was smoking. Verse 18, therefore will I also deal in fury. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. And see, we hear God say, he's bringing judgment on the idolatry, on the worship of idols, on the what they worship in devils. Paul said that they think that they worship in idols, really that they worship in devils. Worshiping devils. So we see, we're talking about the Queen of Heaven. So before I can really get into the Queen of Heaven, let me give you a brief history of mankind. After the flood, Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, came out of the ark. It's important to know that these three people populated the whole earth. Understand that the earth was populated by Noah's sons, his three sons. Therefore, if we are on the planet Earth, you are either a descendant of Shem, Ham, or Japheth. People began to multiply, and Satan wanted to populate the world. Understand that from the beginning, this is why Satan went to deceive Eve. He wanted to populate the world with his seed. So he began a campaign to corrupt mankind. We know from the beginning the reason why Satan fell, first of all, was because of sin. But the sin in his heart was that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped. Satan's desire from the very beginning is to be worshipped, because he feels that he deserves the worship more than God. So we see Satan wanted to be worshipped. Satan wanted to pollute the world. He found a willing instrument in the person of Semiramis. Let's talk about Semiramis. Another name for the Queen of Heaven is Semiramis. Another name up for the Queen of Heaven is Queen of Antiquity. Another name for the Queen of Heaven is Queen of the Coast. but her name is also, one of her names is Semiramis. The Semiramis was an extremely beautiful witch. I'm talking about her as a person in biblical time, but she's also a demon. She is also a demigod, a fallen angel. Semiramis, an extremely beautiful witch. Semiramis was such a beautiful witch that she caused a stir wherever she went. Understanding her beauty was such that if she went to the scene of a riot, the rioters would momentarily suspend the riot just to admire her. This was one beautiful woman. We see from the scriptures that they talk about the beauty of the women of that day. And I believe for the most part, they were natural beauty. But she was a woman to be admired. She eventually became the queen of Babylon. She by marrying Nimrod. So Nimrod's wife was Semiramis. She was a beautiful witch. Ha, Jesus. Now, her striking features about the marriage is that Nimrod married his own mother. My God, this sounds like a difficult statement. What actually happened was that Semiramis gave birth to Nimrod and married him. So Nimrod married his own mother. Talk about incest in the highest degree, marrying your own mother. Huh, my Lord Jesus. What actually happened was that Semiramis gave birth to Nimrod and married him. This is a satanic mystery. This came from the very pits of hell. Unfortunately, Satan used these two people to establish a satanic cult, which has spread throughout the world. So we have to understand that these demonic cults and culture was all originated in Satan and his kingdom. And understand that Satan is always looking for a willing victim. He's always, because they have victims, because once they finish working for Satan, their end is destruction. It's nothing good. So Nimrod marries his mother. Unfortunately, Satan used these two people to establish a satanic cult, which has spread throughout the entire world. The fact that Nimrod was called the husband of his mother makes us to know there was a satanic marriage. So understand this, every marriage is not from God. The Bible says, whom God has put together, let no man put asunder. Understand the marriage of Nimrod and Semiramis, mother and son, was not of God. My goodness, Lord Jesus. The fact that Nimrod was called the husband of his mother makes us to know there was a satanic marriage. This evil marriage led to the greatest problems in human history. History has proved that multitudes have continued to look up to Semiramis as their mother goddess. That's another name for the queen of heaven, as mother goddess. People worship. I want you to understand that this deity, this demigod, is worshipped throughout the entire world. So the first question I ask you, is this queen of heaven still worship? And the answer is absolutely yes. In every culture, you can see a deity, an idol that represents the queen of the coast. Yes, they have many different names, but this demon is still being worshipped. So let us keep going. The great religions of the world have been traced to Semiramis. So all the great false religions all originate, their roots come from Semiramis. In fact, church history has stated that Semiramis and Nimrod introduced the traditional confession in some global churches. Someone came up with a confession, and this is what the confession they came with. I did that terrible evil. I cut off the head of a woman after raping her. The other fellow says, the priest says, did you really do that? The culprit, the person who did it, answered, yes, I did. Then he and the priest said, then he assured, you are forgiven. That fake religious practice was introduced and established by Semiramis and Nimrod. So the art of confession and going to a man confessor, we know that we have a mediator, one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need to confess to a man. The Bible does confess one to another, but I'm talking about going to a church, making confession of all the wickedness you've done, and think that mere man who is a sinner, if he's not serving Christ, a sinner, can save you from your sins. That makes no sense. That's an oxymoron. That makes no sense. So we see that there was a, so the confession, the part, when Catholics go to confession, we have to understand that that's very demonic. Again, the practice of celibacy. Now we see this in the Catholic Church. Now we see, again, the practice of celibacy among the priesthood was introduced by the duo, by Semiramis and Nimrod, because their priests, the offer sacrifice and the temple of Nimrod Semiramis, they were supposed to be celibate. Even though they were homosexuals, they were supposed to be celibate. So we see they would take a vow of celibacy. How many know that we see priests supposed to be in the Catholic Church taking a vow of celibacy, but yet they molested all these children, but yet we see nuns taking a vow of celibacy, and yet over the years they found many, many babies in wells. I remember when I was a young girl in Philadelphia, it came in the news, it came all over the news. There was a church, a Catholic church, and when they dug down in the well, they found hundreds of baby bodies that had been aborted and thrown down, but yet they're practicing celibacy. Today, priests have called themselves reverends, fathers and brothers, mothers and sisters, telling the whole world that they will not get married after a religious order introduced by these two characters in question, Semiramis and Nimrod. Interestingly, Nimrod was called by several names. A close look at these names will help us to understand. The most of the names that can be found in the Bible, Nimrod, another name for Nimrod, was Baal and Moloch. Now, who was Moloch? Moloch was the Philistine Amorite god that required you to sacrifice your babies in his belly. It would hold out his hands burning with fire. And the patriarchs, they would place their babies, my God, in the hands of these burning hands. And they would have an orchestra standing by playing music loudly so that you could not hear the screams of the baby. But this was all the same deity, the same demon, Nimrod, my God. Nimrod, the Bible says, was a master warrior, a mighty hunter, and a powerful male wizard. When they talk about he was a mighty hunter, he was a hunter of men. He hunted men, these deities. He was also the originator of astrology. All the reports and write-ups in the newspaper concerning what does your star say are found by Nimrod. It is on record that Nimrod was the founder and originator of black and white witchcraft. My God. Can I tell you something, people? The white witchcraft is still witchcraft. There's no such thing as good witchcraft and bad witchcraft. Anything that's dabbled in magic and the arts and potion and worship state is wicked. Understand that babies were sacrificed in the worship and honor of Nimrod. You would, in order to honor him, you would have to sacrifice children. When you read the scriptures and come across instances of people who were found or passing their children through the fire, what we are reading about centers on Nimrod. It was the worship of Nimrod. This was how most evil and most terrible religion practices started. If we look at any false religion, most false religions require blood, some type of sacrifice. And why? Because they worship in Nimrod and Semiramis. My God. As Nimrod and Semiramis continued to perpetrate all evil, one of the sons of Noah called Shem stood up one day and murdered Nimrod. My God. So we see that he was murdered by Shem, one of Noah's sons. The whole city was thrown into an uproar. However, Semiramis, Nimrod's mother and wife, took advantage of this situation to go to the next level. My God. She was pregnant that time and soon gave birth to a child. She received satanic inspiration. Just like we can get heavenly inspiration from the Lord, can I tell you the devil can release satanic inspirations and utterances to people. That's why we have to be careful, because the Bible says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing demons and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. So we see we have to be careful, because the enemy is releasing these Santana impartations, and people are picking it up in the spirit, my God, and they think that it's from God, but it's from the devil. So we see that she used it. So the whole city, understand, was in an uproar. However, Samaritan's Nimrod's mother and wife took advantage of that situation. She was pregnant at the time and soon gave birth to a child. She received Santana inspiration, which she claimed that he was reincarnated. Also understand, the religion, the practice of reincarnation originated from inspiration from the devil that was given to this wicked witch. The worship of Queen of Heaven was so inspired by the devil that they could kill babies without batting an eye. They would cut the hearts of the babies, my God, open through the use of the sign of the cross. My God, so demonic. We see this is where the origination of abortion came back through these times. And still today, when people abort babies, they are worshiping Moloch. They are worshiping Samaritan, the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Codes, the Queen of Antiquity. She is even called other names, and we're going to get to that as well. Glory to God. But I'm trying to give you a background, the history of the Queen of Heaven. Hallelujah. This practice continued to the image of Semiramis carrying her demonic baby named Tammuz. Now, we heard Tammuz in Ezekiel, spread all over the world. The worship of Tammuz is very prevalent today and is worldwide and is universal. Semiramis and the demonic baby called Tammuz eventually became deified. They became gods in the eyes of many people in many religions. They became the sun god, otherwise known as Baal. Any reader of the Bible would observe that so much is said about the worship of Baal. Many times God deals with the nation of Israel for the worship of Baal. Things continue until the Babylonians were scattered and traveled to various parts of the world. As these idol worshipers scattered, they took their religion with them everywhere they went. They propagated the worship of the Divine Mother and the Child. Who else do we know that worship Divine Mother and Child? Thus, Samaritan became a prominent religious personality in all nations and communities of the world. So we see that this principality, because it's a fallen angel, it is a Elohim, it is a little G, it is all over the world. If we go into any nation today, you will discover that the name of Samaritans have become a household name. My God, go to China and you will find Samaritans there. The Chinese call her Samaritans Xingmo. If you go to Scandinavia, you will find the imprint of Samaritans there. She is also called Disa, D-I-S-S-A, by the Scandinavians. If you go to Europe, European country, you will discover that Samaritans is also worshipped there. In Europe, she's probably referred to as the Madonna. Have anyone heard about the Madonna? My God. The picture of the baby and mother is very popular in Europe. This popularity is why the Madonna and the Child are both cherished and worshipped in Europe and in America. The picture of Madonna has even infiltrated into the world of music. In some places, she is called the Great Goddess. Some people call her the Goddess Mother. The Romans call her Mother Venus and call the Child Jupiter. The same personality is called Astra, while the Child is called Baal in the Bible. Some people call this popular goddess Artemis. Where do we see Artemis? Let's go to Acts. Let's see what the book of Acts says about Artemis. We heard this, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray you're getting something out of this. I pray that you're learning and that as you learn, you know what demons, when you begin to deal with the higher ups. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Now, this is Paul, and we're going to continue right here, but this is Paul in Ephesus. And let us start at verse 23. About that time, there occurred no small disturbance and cause in the way. Now, we know that Paul and his companions was teaching about Jesus Christ, and people was coming to Jesus. We see that the sorcerers, the seven sons of Sceva, this is the chapter where they were beaten by the demons, because the demons said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And the Bible says that they were beaten naked. But we see that people were coming to Christ in droves. Matter of fact, that those who practiced witchcraft and sorcery, what did they do? They came and brought their books and they burned their book. And so there was a great disturbance, hallelujah, in the city, because Paul and them people were changing their ways, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, so we see a riot happened. And it says, about this time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. Talking about Jesus and Christianity. Now, a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of the goddess Artemis. Another name for Artemis is Diana, and was bringing no small profit to the craftsmen. So they was making big money. Demetrius and the other craftsmen were making big money off of making these idols, because people was buying them, taking them home to their home, giving them as gifts, all to worship this deity, this demigod. These craftsmen, he called together along with the workmen of similar trades and said, men, you are well aware that we make a good living from this business. So Demetrius gathered the men, the businessmen together who were making the idols, and said, this is where we make our livelihood. This is how we pay our bills. This is how we take care of our family. And look at these guys. People are turning away. They're not buying the idols like they used to. He said, so you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost all over the province of Asia, this Paul has persuaded people to believe his teaching and has misled a large number of people, claiming that gods made by hands, human hands, are not really gods at all. Amen. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours will be discredited, but also that the magnificent temple of the great goddess Artemis, Diana, queen of heaven, queen of coast, queen of antiquity, in other words, will be discredited, and that she whom all Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned and lose her glorious magnificency. Now, how can, if she's so great, so wonderful and magnificent, how can mere human beings stop her from being magnificent and glorious? My God. Remember the days of old. He says, consider the years of many generations. In other words, they've been doing this all for many years, making idols, being idol makers. When the Most High, He said, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, he will inform you, you elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations the inheritance, when he separated the sons of men, he set the boundaries of the people according to the numbers of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion and chosen share is his people. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me stop there. I'm reading something else. I don't want to read it. I'm reading Deuteronomy. So we see that Artemis is another name for Diana, is another name for the Queen of Coast, Queen of Heaven. And we see in Ephesus, in these great cities in the ancient time, that there was big business. They was worshiping these idols. They were made with hands. But you have to understand that what these demons were doing was like what a ventriloquist does today. They were throwing their voices into these idols. And so the people began to believe that these idols was really talking to them. Why? Because the demons was talking through the idols. My God, Lord Jesus. So, and we let's continue where we were. So others call her, where was Baal in the Bible. Others called her Sebel or Diana. What a name. The Egyptians, on the other hand, called her Isis. How many heard Isis? It is crystal clear, therefore, that Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven, has become a global demonic heroine. People worship global. Understand that she is a global demonic heroine. She, Semiramis, now has become a goddess with many names, such as Xingmo, which is Chinese, Bali, Dissa, Scandinavian, the Madonna, which also the Catholic Church, they call her the Madonna, the great goddess, Mother Venus and Jupiter in Rome, the mother of mankind. Also another name for the Queen of Heaven, Queen of Coast, is the Mother Earth. When people say, oh yeah, I believe in Mother Earth, I worship Mother Earth. In other words, they worship the Queen of Heaven. So if you have said any in your life that you worship Mother Earth, you need to repent, because you were saying, you were confessing that you worship the Queen of Heaven. Another name for her was Astra, goddess, and Baal child. In Judges chapter 2 and 13, it talks about that. Also talks about worshiping Astar. And 1 Kings chapter 11 and 5, it says, thank you, Lord Jesus. For Solomon went after Astar, the fertility goddess of the Sidonians, after Malcolm, that's Moloch, the horror, detestable idol of the Amorites. My Lord Jesus. All these idolatrous practices continue. People began to build monuments for the Queen Mother or Great Goddess. These monuments were built in many nations of the world. Thus, Satan succeeded in establishing a global demonic religion even before Christ was born. Understanding, we need to understand the fact that these religious practices actually started before Christ came into the world. Historians tell us that people adopted Semiramis and her child. Semiramis was also called Mary, the mother of God. My God. The Mary which we come across in the Bible saw in herself a sinner who needed salvation. We talk about Jesus' real mother. The real Mary was in the upper room when the disciples were being baptized with the Holy Ghost. She was hungry for God. Hallelujah. I am sure that the real Mary must be so sad to observe that she has been idolized in religious movement and false religion and a lie that's perpetuated by the kingdom of darkness. So people that's in these false religions and capitalism, you need to repent if you ever worship the mother God. Satan, understand, has successfully deceived millions of people into worshiping Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. Those who refer to Mary as a virgin today are wrong. We have to understand that Mary, the Mary we come across in the Bible, did not remain a virgin. After giving birth to Jesus, she gave birth to other children. Jesus talks about his brothers. The Bible talks about Jesus' brothers. It talks about his sisters. Those who worship the Queen of Heaven have certainly tricked themselves and allowed the enemy to trick them. An understanding of these historical facts should make us realize that the enemy has deceived many. This should make us understand that people who are involved in these false religions are under the control of Satan. Understand that it's time to pull down satanic strongholds in the heavenly. My God, we have to address the Queen of Heaven. We have to understand it's time for us to take authority over these demons. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the powers of the enemy. We don't need to be afraid. It's time for us to stop praying these low-level prayers. It's time for us to be on the offensive and take it to the enemy. We have been given authority to put the enemy to shame. So as we close out this study, this mini teaching on the, and this is just the beginning, on the Queen of Heaven. Let me just give you a little bit more information. As I studied, I pulled up some more information about Semiramis. Now, Semiramis is the English translation of the Greek translation of the name of the Queen of Assyria, who for a time had sole reign. Much is written about the woman Semiramis, but little is substantiated. So this is a lot of this is myth. However, she was a real queen. She was a witch. Let's see. She was beautiful beyond compare. We read about that. She left her mark on several major construction projects. Hallelujah, Jesus. One theory is that Semiramis was the wife of Nivus, the founder of Nivea. Another name for Nivus was Nimrod. She was, and we know that Nimrod, he built Shinar. He built several different cities. Amen. Semiramis was well known for her building projects and military exploits. She helped build the city of Babylon, including the walls and castles, and possibly the Hanging Gardens. And we heard that those Hanging Gardens were so beautiful. Understand, she conquered, she is said to conquer much of Asia, Libya, and Ethiopia, and was wounded in battle against the king of India. So it's much to be said, but we're going to continue this. I just want us to pray, close out praying today, and understand that God hates idolatry in any form, and we don't believe that we are in idolatry, but if you put even your car, anything, a person before God, you are an idolater. And God, idolatry is an abomination to God. So Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we repent before you, dear Father God. We repent if we have put anything before you, any idols, Lord God. We repent in the name of Jesus if we have put anything, Lord God, before you, God, in ignorance. We still repent in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we take authority. I take authority over the principality, the power, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high and lofty places. Father God, I call down your holy fire to burn up every witch, warlock, soothsayer in the name of Jesus. May your judgment come upon the witches and warlocks, Lord God, the drinkers of blood, those who drink blood, Lord God. Let your holy fire fall upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord God, those who would sacrifice babies, let your judgment fall upon them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we decree and declare, Lord God, every assignment of every witch and warlock against your church is null and void in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, we pray, God, that you will rent the heavens in your anger and come down into our territories, God, and rid us of every witch, warlock, in the name of Jesus. Father, let witchcraft covenants melt away as wax in the name of Jesus. Oh God, arise and visit all witchcraft incantation with your thunder, earthquake, and a great noise in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and arise and instruct your angels to set unquenchable fire on witchcraft shrines, on the queen of heaven, the queen of coasts, the queen of antiquity, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and rise and cause confusion in witchcraft camp assigned against the church in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we call forth the protocol of angels, the battling angels, security angel, ministering angels, territory angels, to slay every power of witchcraft in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh earth, refuse to carry out the instructions of witch doctors assigned against the church in the name of Jesus. I deprogram and cancel all witchcraft prophecies by the power of the blood in Jesus. I program judgment on witchcraft in the heavenlies. In the name of Jesus, oh God, arise and cast forth abominable filth upon witchcraft. My Father, let the tables of witchcraft that come against the church become their snares in the name of Jesus. Let the eyes of the witches assigned against the church be darkened. Let their crystal balls be darkened in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray, God, I plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for power and authority, Lord God. We dismantle, disrupt, and overturn the plots and plans for the demise of your church in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that the eyes of our understanding are opening up even more, God. Let the intercessors arise, Lord God. Let them see God as never before, God. Let them, Lord God, beat down, crush, forcefully oppose the wiles of the devil in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that every witchcraft agenda against the church to destroy is null and void. It shall not come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I invite you to join us next time on our teaching as we continue the series, the Queen of Heaven. May God bless you, enlarge you, and increase you. In Jesus' name, amen.
What an honor to be invited to the marriage of the to come and worship Him. Celebration, it's the joining of the bride and the Son, the two becoming one.